Welcome back to the 43rd Ryder Cup here at Whistling Straits. We are with Terrell Hatton. Welcome to your second career Ryder Cup. Just want to ask you, where's there more comfort for you? Was it as a rookie on home soil in Paris, in Europe, or being a more of an established player here on the road? Where did you feel more comfortable as you came into the Ryder Cup experience?
Well, I think obviously I'm in two different places in my career. See, Paris was an amazing experience, and I was obviously pleased to make this Ryder Cup team to, I guess, prove to myself that I can. Wasn't like a once-off, and it's a special team to be a part of, and we're looking forward to the week ahead.
With regard to Pultz, you as a pretty emotional player, I'm curious how you view him and kind of what makes him tick and what he means to the team for all he's done in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he's obviously a huge part of Team Europe. Obviously very passionate and has a great Ryder Cup record. And like I said, yeah, he's a massively important part of this team.
If you were an opponent of his, can you imagine how, you know, when he gets on those rolls and he's dropping those long putts and whatnot, how that can affect the other side to some degree, maybe get under its skin or whatever, you know, for lack of a better way?
Well, I think momentum in match play is a huge thing, and moments like that kind of can turn the match around or kind of get you going on to hopefully win a point. So Pultz has been very good over the years at holding a chip shot at a certain time or, you know, a long putt and maybe turning the match or sort of taking it on to win that point. So that's something that we all need to try and do this week, and we'll definitely be trying our best to do that.
Do you know exactly when you're going to play your first match and exactly who it's going to be with? Without naming names, of course. And if the answer is yes, how early did you know that?
The guys have been told. Paddy told us, was it maybe yesterday, I think, or the day prior, so that we all know kind of where we're at. We know what we're doing.
There's been a little bit of speculation that you might be a target for some of the crowds here, but is it a sort of comfort that nobody here could ever be as hard on you as you are on yourself?
That's probably very true. I'm not sure exactly what kind of reception I'll get tomorrow. As we're the away team, I think we all expect a little bit of, well, not really any cheers. So we'll take it in our stride, see how we go.
And this thing of being down on yourself at times, is it easier to pull out of that when you've got a partner with you who's going to say, no, come on, it's only one hole or whatever? So does that then become easier to overcome it?
Well, I think for me, you know, I can't kind of, for me personally, I can't really do that this week because it's almost not fair on your partner. Like, you don't want to then essentially almost bring them down. And that's not what we're about. It's not what you do as a team. You're in it together. Obviously, you support one another and go out there and try and play as well as you can.
Hey, Terrell, I'm curious, when you're on the course, how often do you like change your game plan based on what your partner's doing? For instance, like, are you hitting more conservative targets if your partner's in trouble, you know, foursomes versus four balls? Like, how fluid is your plan and does it change a lot?
I think it all depends what the situation of the match is and things like that. I think at the end of the day, you still have to go out and play your own game. If you're naturally a more aggressive player, then sometimes shying away from that, you're not going to hit as good a shot as you could. I think you just have to try and be true to yourself, play your own game. And yes, I guess you do need to be a little mindful at certain points in the match, but generally just go out there and just do what you'd normally do.
Have you spoken, you mentioned it about, you know, clearly the crowd will be extremely partisan. Have you spoken as a team about how or if you should react to the crowd, you know, in terms of, you know, hushing them, in terms of reacting to what they do? Have you all spoken together and said, right, well, this is, you know, keep calm and keep the lid on it?
I mean, we've spoken a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, you kind of go out there and we're true to ourselves as our own individual people. And I guess how you'd behave any other week. And yeah, we're not, I wouldn't say, going to be like aggressive, if that's what you're asking.
Front left, Jeff, 19.
Terrell, I would guess as a young player, you aspire to be part of this European Ryder Cup dynamic. Once you're there, as you were in Paris, what's the biggest thing you pull from being part of that?
I guess for me, that I'm good enough to be here. The fact that I've made two teams now is good for me as a individual and how my own thought process kind of works. And yeah, as obviously growing up watching the Ryder Cup and certain members on our team that you've sort of idolized, and now you're sharing a team room with them, and obviously it makes it very special.
Terrell, you're coming in off back-to-back missed cuts, and I'm just curious, do you feel like form coming into the Ryder Cup carries over into the Ryder Cup at all, or is it so different with being match playing with a partner that it's kind of a new ball game?
No, it's a different atmosphere out on the golf course. You know, I'd like to think that generally when under pressure in big tournaments in the past that I've played good golf, and this week's obviously is no different to that. It's big pressure each day, and generally over my career, I think I've been able to play well in big moments. So I take confidence from that, although my form hasn't been great coming into this week.
Straits, we are with world number one, John Rahm. John, welcome to your second career Ryder Cup. You know, frequently through these interviews, we hear about the reverence the European side has for Seve and Jose Maria and such. But beyond your two countrymen, which are obvious answers, are there any other players as you were growing up, as you watched a Ryder Cup, beyond the two that you kind of locked into and, you know, were kind of captured by their spirit and their fervor for the Ryder Cup?
I think one that is often can be overlooked is Monty. You know, Monty had a really good run in the Ryder Cup, especially in singles. Somebody who had a great career, who maybe was not the most vocal player out there, like maybe Seve was, but got things done. He was a tough guy to beat. So I think Monty is one of those that can be overlooked.
Hi, John. Only your second Ryder Cup, but you're already pretty much expected to be one of the leaders, certainly on the course, aren't you? Are you ready to make that step up?
Man, nice, easy one. What kind of a player would I say if I say no? Right. So, yes, I'm ready for that. It's a challenge I look forward to. Obviously, so a lot of players in our team that have a lot of experience and know how to get it done. I'm ready to add my name into that group.
Tell me a feeling that there was going to be extra responsibility on you, given obviously your position in the rankings.
Yes and no. We have plenty of players in the team that are vocal enough, that have done this enough, that naturally will gravitate towards for guidance. I'm not going to actively go and just make myself, hey, I'm a leader now, because I don't have that massive of an ego. So in that case, hopefully, like I've done so far this year, I let the clubs and the ball do the talking, and I leave the speeches and the leadership to the guys that have been doing this for a long time.
Can you describe what you believe Poults means to this team and what he's done over the years?
Well, I think Poults is one of those players that you might get once in a generation, right, that embody the spirit of the Ryder Cup, right? You have somebody who, world ranking-wise, it's around 40, 50. You know, you wouldn't say world ranking or stats-wise is anything, you know, massively special. But when he steps through the doors and you get to the Ryder Cup, it is Ian Poulter. He's got a pretty good record, and he's a tough guy to beat. It's match play, and it's something special. And that's the beauty of this team, and that's the beauty of this event, and that's the beautiful part of something and somebody like Ian Poulter. They really become somebody this week.
Can you put yourself on the other side? Can you put yourself on the other side of as an opponent? And when he gets on those rolls that he's gotten on, you know, with the eyes and the you know, fist pumps and the long
putts
and whatnot.
Yeah, when he gets possessed. Yeah,
exactly, possessed. how rattling or maybe under the skin can that be for an opponent, do you think?
I wouldn't want to play Ian. That's not in that, especially in that mode, like we saw in Medina. That's because you have somebody who's a very good putter who will make the putt at the right time. And even though, like I said, might not look like anything special, he's not going to make any mistakes, and he's going to hold on to that match and just be there and be relentless. And that's the worst type of opponent. He's a tough man to beat, and, you know, it's a great guy. It's one of those guys in other sports that you may hate him if he's not on your team, but you love him if he's on yours.
I know there's still the Ryder Cup, but when you look at the season that you just completed, there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot going on. How do you sum that up?
You know, it's not the first time I answered this question. And it just dawned on me that it's only been 5.5 months since my son was born. And there's been so many things that happened since then. It almost feels like it's been a couple of years worth of experiences in those 5 months. And besides the setbacks that I've already talked about extensively, the good moments, the great experiences, the happiness vastly outweighs the setbacks. And that's all I can say about this year. You know, I've had, became a dad, you know, we're in a really good place family-wise. I'm very happy at home. It's been amazing. Got my first major and played really good golf all year round. I have nothing to complain. It's been amazing. No matter what happened COVID-wise, no matter what events I missed or what could have been, still has been an amazing year that I'm really thankful for. And I think that's the most important thing, right? I feel like it's very easy in life to focus on what could have been and what you didn't have. You know, I'm choosing to just realize how many good things have happened and forget about those moments.
Does that kind of perspective, or does that possibly give you some perspective coming into an event like this that a lot of people view as, you know, the biggest thing, ultra important, super important? Obviously, you want to win, but it
kind we of do puts we it do off. Want to win, but it's a team effort, right? It's not like I can do it by myself. Unless you're Poulter, he can do it by himself. So it would be a really nice end to the year, right? Even though we've already started the new season, technically, it'll be a very nice end to what's been a wonderful year, right? That win in France, you know, you create a bond that it's unforgettable, and it would be, you know, a really good feeling to be able to do it on first try, and in my case, on U.S. soil as well. So it's something we all want to add to the calendar. It's something we all want to add to the repertoire, right? Being able to win a Ryder Cup, especially in away country.
Hey, John, from what you've seen so far, what are the biggest differences in temperament and captaining style between Thomas and Patrick?
Don't know if my vice captain would let me disclose too much. I must say, I didn't know either of them that much before the Ryder Cup. Obviously, I've been a pro for a couple of years only when it happened in Paris, and I'm predominantly on the PJ Tour. So I didn't see Thomas that much, or Patrick. They can say, the only thing I must say, Patrick is a lot more calm than Thomas was. A little bit, yeah, okay. So I feel like that's a better question for a vice captain, because I think they see and hear a lot more of the reality, right? The captain needs to be calm, cool, and composed for all the players, right? It can't be going off on all of us. So we might not see the whole truth, but obviously they've both been very, very well spoken and very well expressive in what they have in mind, what they expect from us. And, you know, they've made it very easy and very comfortable for all of us. They've done a really good job at just letting us do what we have to do and just letting each one of us know, especially in my case, what they expect from me and what they want me to do. And that's been wonderful.
I know you can't name names, obviously. How early did you know when you were playing first and who you were playing with? How early were you given that information of who you're going
to... Tomorrow?
Who you're going to play with tomorrow and that.
Well, I still don't know, so... You tell me. I think like you guys think we know a lot more than you guys know. I mean, I have an idea of a couple of players I may play with. I mean, didn't you guys see us throwing balls in the tee yesterday? I mean, it's kind of, well, here you go. That's how we do things. Just leave it out to chance. It's something that for some reason for all of us becomes quite easy. I think because we have so much of individual golf where for the most part, you only care about yourself. A lot of the decisions in life and even at home I've made due to golf and what we need to do to become the better players. When you get here, it's not just about yourself, right, or your family. It's about all 12 of us. And to be fair, a lot of the decisions are made for us. It's a lot easier. But it is really cool to see all these great players, the people that have been doing this for a very long time. When Lee played the Ryder Cup for the first time, I wasn't even 3 years old yet. And to see all these great people that have accomplished so many things come together with a smile that only a team event and the Ryder Cup can bring to you, an excitement, a juvenile excitement that you don't usually expect a 48-year-old to have. It's very unique, and it's something that I wish everybody could see, because I feel like a lot of times we're missing that in life, and what a week like this can definitely give you that youth back in that sense, mentally, right? And even though I'm still 26, I'm very young. Still takes me back to when I was a kid hoping to be playing in the Ryder Cup, when I was a kid representing Spain and how I felt back then. And obviously magnified times, you know, 100 in this situation. But it's something that it's very, very fun. It's what makes the Ryder Cup so special, amongst other things, right? I mean, we're all one. And we're all the same, and we all have the same level of excitement, and the smiles that we see around, and the happiness and the joy is something that, again, I wish everybody could see.
Here at Whistling Straits with Brooks Koepka. Brooks, welcome to your third career Ryder Cup. A lot of people have been asking about the first tee this first time out there and that, but I kind of just want to ask about Hazeltine and your first match victory, the sense of accomplishment that with putting a number on the board. I think you were with Brent Snedeker, and just how good that feels to, for the first time, you know, put a tally on the American side.
Yeah, it was probably the most nervous I've ever been. Was on the first tee. It was good. I think I went out, I didn't play the morning match, so I went out and watched the guys tee off and was kind of there and got to like soak in the atmosphere, which was pretty cool. I got chills. I think I was standing next to Tiger and maybe Davis. I was like, how cool is this? So, yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, to be able to go out in the first match that I played in and win, I thought Brent was the perfect partner. I loved it. He was so perfect for me, you know, energetic. Didn't really care if I sprayed it. And he's a good putter, so that's usually a good combo.
Stricker was in here yesterday talking about how one of his main goals for the week for you guys was to reduce the number of obligations to kind of keep things more relaxed and calm. And I was curious if you've noticed a difference compared to prior Ryder Cups. Has it been a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think so. I think I think COVID kind of made it that way a little bit, but I think he's done a good job of keeping everything kind of on the low because it is a busy week. We've got a lot of things. Like I can't, you know, I don't bring my physio just because I know I don't have time for it. So little things like that, but it's definitely a lot easier. I think pretty much everybody is kind of noticed that, and it's been great. I think you can kind of see her. Maybe, you know, that's kind of why, I don't know, maybe dead on Sunday. I don't know, but I think it's definitely a lot better this year.
Please, 19.
Brooks, Strick was expressing to us that you feel 100% health-wise. How long have you felt 100%, and are there any limitations at all this week as far as how much you can play?
I mean, I'm like glass, so I wouldn't say I'm 100%. I mean, my left knee, right knee, I'm broken, man. No, I mean, I feel fine. I feel as good as I've felt in a long time. You know, over the past week and a half, I did a lot of work on it. Derek Samuel, my trainer, he was down with me for about 8 days. So able to kind of work everything out and make sure it's fine, but I feel good and I'm ready to go as much or as little as I want.
No, no worries of going 36 in a day.
I'm good.
Brooks, going back to kind of the alternate shot deal, I mean, statistically, it's just a format the United States has struggled in. But do you feel like it's a format that you enjoy and that you guys like going out and playing?
Yeah, I do. I like it. It's just different. It's, you know, it's tough to build a rhythm. I think for me, I didn't play in any teams growing up. So I didn't play on any Junior Ryder Cup, Walker Cup. I didn't play any of that. So this is like the first time I've done a team thing other than college. So it's definitely, and I never played alternate shots so until I got here. But it's, you know, I think some of the guys probably have that luxury because they've played Walker Cups and stuff like that, so they might have a better idea. But I like it. It's fun. It's different. It's just tough to kind of build a rhythm. You know, you hit one good shot and you're going to wait 15 minutes before you hit the next one. I don't see. At the end of the day, it's just who plays better.
And this seems obvious, but had you ever played alternate shot before your first team event as a professional?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there were any junior events where it was alternate shot, so I think 16 was the first time. I think I did, but yeah. I think that was the first time.
How would you describe Strix as a captain and just kind of what are some of his best attributes and virtues that he's bringing to the table for you guys?
I think he cares so much. He's very passionate. You can see that maybe not outwardly, but when you're inside the team room or talking to him personally, it's very obvious. He's just got a big passion for the game, big passion for all of us as players. You know, the vice captains, he just truly cares a lot, and he's a softy.
I was going to, my follow-up to that, because he's a crier, obviously, as yeah. We all know. You know, is there a part of, you know, obviously you want to win for any captain you're playing for, but because of how emotional he is about that, and obviously how much do guys want to win for him and make him bawl his eyes out on Sunday?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him cry. I think, you know, that'd be – that'd be awesome just because I know how much time he's put in. You know, as a captain, you got to put in so much time for at least a year and a half. I don't know, because we had an extra year. I don't know how much time they actually put into it other than that. But, you know, it's at least 18 months of hard work, you know, growing up in Wisconsin. There's a lot of things that just kind of are coming together where it would be the perfect storm if we were to win. You know, so I think everybody knows that and everybody wants to, you know, just play well.
So you said you haven't played many team competitions. So I'm curious what the transition's been like for you going from, you know, golf as an individual sport to this team concept.
It's different. It takes a little bit of adjusting. Once you get out there, it's the same thing as competition. Just go put the ball in the hole as quickly as possible, hit the best shot you can, or, you know, if you're in trouble, get it back, or your partner or whatever. It takes a little bit of adjusting, but, you know, it's tough. I mean, my whole life I just played an individual sport and you go to a team. So it is different, but I enjoy it. I think it's fun. It kind of brings you back to a little bit of college because, I mean, we're not playing alternate shot or best ball or anything like that, but it is, you know, that team camaraderie.
Why do you think Team USA are going to win this week? What do you think the potential strengths of your team and any potential weaknesses in the European team?
I think there's a lot of guys playing well. You know, Patrick's been playing really well. Bug's been playing really well. There's a lot of guys that have played, you know, Jordan's playing great. You can see it. I think at the end of the day, or I guess at the end of the week, it's, you know, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, and it's just who plays better. It comes down to, you know, with the guy, eight guys you send out every day, are they going to play the best that they can, and do they play the best of their ability? And if they do, then that side's going to win.
Brief follow-up. Can you just describe your current relationship with Bryson DeChambeau?
We're on the same team together. We've had dinner almost every night as a team. I've been in, got here Monday, so everyone as a team is interacting, everybody participating in conversations, doing everything we need to do.
Have you gotten to know anybody better this week that you maybe haven't spent that much time with in the past, or do you feel like you just know all these American guys really well by this point anyway?
I would say this year I probably know them a little bit better because it is a younger core group of guys. I'd say the only guy that I probably didn't know from junior golf or amateur golf, college, all that stuff was Colin. Maybe that was kind of the one, but the rest of them, I mean, I've played since we've been 12 years old to now. So we already kind of have a pretty good relationship, and it's just a younger core group of guys than it's been in the past where, you know, coming in my first one, I didn't know Brandt that well. I didn't know Bubba that well. There's a lot of, you know, I was just coming out on tour, so it was a different scenario. I haven't been in the team room just chilling too much. Just, you know, we do. I know the obligations are cut down, but it's still, I still got long days.
Brooks, Bryson the other day, he sort of intimated that there might be something with you and him beyond the Ryder Cup. It was very vague. He just sort of teased it. I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on that, if there's anything close. Is there going to be some sort of a competition, or was he... Or did he mean something completely different?
I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't listen to the comments or hear what he said, so I have no idea.
43rd Ryder Cup here at Whistling Straits. We were with our good friend Tony Finau. Tony, welcome to your second career Ryder Cup. He played here in 15, had a good finish, T10. That was played in August. Temps were probably in the low 80s and such, and here we are, crisp. Almost fall like conditions, a little more of a breeze. How different are those two golf courses if you can, you know, take yourself back and also be here this week?
I'm trying to think back to 2015. I remember the golf course just as a whole. You know, I remember the holes, kind of what they looked like, the shape of them. I don't really remember how it played in 2015. I don't know if that's my memory. I'm getting old, or so I kind of had almost a blank canvas. I feel like, you know, when we had our practice last week coming out, it was nice to be out here again, and there's quite a few blind shots on this golf course, so I think just seeing the lines and being confident over where you're aiming on some of those holes are very important. It's still kind of the same season, I would say, just in that we played it in August in 15. You know, we're in late September now, so still pretty close to the same season. So I don't remember it playing crazy different. I know it's a lot cooler. I don't remember wearing a jacket
right
when we played in 15, but my memory wasn't great of 15, just kind of remembering how the golf course played. But it's nice to have come back to a place that I have played, have good memories from. I played really nicely in 15 for at least three rounds. And it's just fun to be back to a golf course that I've played before and have great memories at.
A more tiring week than other tournament weeks, just because, you know, you just have to be more on the whole time with, you know, teammates or dinners or different obligations?
Yes, because you do have to be on quite often. But man, it's where you want to be, though. You know, it's kind of a mix of both. You know, like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, you know, that's for sure. I wouldn't want to be at home in the situation I was in, you know, maybe watching. So it's worth what the week brings. And that's, you know, a lot of team dinners, you know, going out in groups, a lot of things that we're not as accustomed to on a normal week. But when you're only dealing with it for 1 week and it's the Ryder Cup, we're all up for it and we're all up for the challenge. And it ends up being a great time. I get to know a lot of these guys better than I know them just on a normal PGA Tour week or playing major championships, whatever it is. So just getting to know the guys, our wives getting to know each other better. Makes for good feelings all around, and whatever tiredness we're feeling throughout the week, I think gets trumped just by being here and participating in the Ryder Cup. There's a handful of holes. It just depends on the wind. You know, like, if it's coming off the coast, a lot of the holes are going to be playing into the wind early. So those are the holes that I think, you know, someone like me can take advantage of. If it's a trade wind, which is coming out of the south, which I think it's going to be this weekend, then you're going to have to take advantage of the holes kind of along the water. You know, from starting from six,